Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a teaching entitled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. And I'll either be finishing this probably today or tomorrow, But on this part, I'm going to share some things with you from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And this really goes along with the scripture that I've been using all last week, Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, where it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Here's another way of saying the same thing and talking about peace instead of just a desire. But look at this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." This says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And this word rule there is the exact word that we get our English word umpire from. And you know, when I first saw this scripture, I was in a real crisis situation in my life, and I was trying to make a decision, and I didn't have total peace in any direction. And as I studied this and I looked up this word and found out that it meant to umpire, the Lord just gave me this visual on this, that basically this is just like in baseball. Of course, this program's being seen all around the world, and some of you may not be real familiar with American baseball. But when the pitcher throws the ball, the umpire that is behind home plate has to make a decision right then, and has to either call it a ball or a strike. You can't sit there and say, well, it was close, and I don't know if it was a ball or a strike. Let's do it over. No, you can't do it over. You have to make a decision. And once he says it's a strike, or once he says it's a ball, you can't sit there and say, oh, I think, no, it was a ball instead of a strike. You can't change your mind. Once you make a decision, it's done. So as I saw this word rule, and it's the same root word that we get our English word umpire from, here's the way that the Lord spoke to me. He says, you have to just let peace act like an umpire and let peace make a decision. And once you make it, don't back off of it. Let peace rule, umpire. Give it that kind of authority. And you know, people often disagree with the umpire's call, and they'll yell, you're blind, ump, you need glasses or whatever, and they do all kinds of things. But once an umpire rules, it doesn't matter what public opinion is, you don't change it. Whether it was right or wrong, that's the way that the ball has been called, and that's just the way that it is. And this is the way we need to do with letting the peace of God rule in our heart. And again, I offer this to you in conjunction with that scripture I was using previously in Psalms 37:4, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He will start putting His desires in your heart, and then you can follow the things that you desire to do as long as you are seeking God with all of your heart. Likewise, you can follow the peace that's in your heart. And I tell you, this, coupled with Psalms 37:4, is probably the dominant way that God leads me in my life. You know, in things that are in general, the scripture is very clear on certain things that, you know what, I'm supposed to put others ahead of myself. And that gives me a lot of guidance about how to deal with things. And I get tremendous amount of leadership from the Word of God. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You'll be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so the Word of God provides me with a command to go. And so I do that. And I just go and I spread the word and do things. And God's word gives me guidance. But when I have multiple opportunities to go minister the word of God, how do I decide which ones? You know, I just can't, like I turned down, I don't even know, but I turned down probably more invitations to go minister than I get. And I can't do them all. It's physically impossible. How do I decide? I can't find a scripture that says, go to this church over here in North Carolina, or go to this one in Texas, or this one up in Michigan. I don't know. There's no scripture that's going to say that. The word says go, but when you've got more places to go than what you can possibly do, how is it that you know which one to do? You know how I basically do that? I put God first. I seek Him with my whole heart. and then I go where I desire to go. I let the peace of God. I look at my options, and I look at the ones that I think, and in my estimation, is going to be the best opportunity to minister, or the ones that I just want to go to. And I know that there's a lot of people that would probably sit there and say, well, you go to the ones that are the biggest church or the ones that will give you the most money or whatever. And that's not true. I go to a lot of very small churches. I go to a lot of churches that, you know, in the natural, there's just no reason to go there. But I just have a desire to go there. I love the pastor. I want to help them. I go to churches sometimes that can't give me anything. I go to some churches and give them more money than they give me when I go there. I am not doing it based on these carnal, self-serving things. I go basically where I have a desire to go, where I have peace in my life. And that's how God directs me. If I don't have peace about doing something, I don't do it. And you know, I've learned some of these lessons the hard way. I remember one instance in particular when I was in Pritchett, Colorado, and I went there and held a week-long meeting. We saw a man raised from the dead, and these people had been taught that all of this faith type of stuff and miracles and seeing people healed was of the devil, that God didn't do those things. And I came in and just dropped a bomb on them, and we saw a man raised from the dead. And so, you know, it was hard for him to say anything against it. And so they submitted, and when the meeting was over, I was ready to leave town. And they said, you can't come in here and turn all of our theology upside down and just change everything and then waltz out of here like nothing ever happened. You got to come here and teach us and show us how to believe like this and how to start seeing miracles on our own. And you know what? I didn't have a desire to do it at first. But anyway, before I got out of town, you know what? I had a love, a desire to be in this little tiny place. 144 people, 10 people in the church. And the next closest town was 30 miles away. And it wasn't anything to speak of. You know what? There's just no reason in the natural to go there. But God gave me a different desire. And as I contemplated these things, I just had peace about going there. And so I let the peace of God rule in my heart. And that's basically how I wound up making that transition and making this decision, is I let the peace of God rule in my heart. And I could tell you so many times I did that. But when I got there, there was a number of the elders that were in this church. It was just a small church, 10 or 15 people, but there was a number of elders that were custom combiners. And so for 6 months of the year, they were gone. They followed the wheat harvest, and they would go all the way down into Texas and go all the way up towards Canada, and they were gone. And so since they were going to be gone, they thought that they should put another person in the body into the eldership to be there with me while they're gone. And I wasn't opposed to that. And they suggested this man who was probably 60 years old. And actually, when I came there and I started countering all of this doctrine that they had, this man was one of the very few who embraced what I was teaching. And he had been through some faith type teaching to where this is what he'd been trying to tell the people. And he actually identified with me and embraced me and was one of my few supporters when I first came to that church. So in the natural, everything looked good. He was a seasoned guy. He had some maturity in him, just physical, natural maturity. He had a word. He was in agreement with what I was teaching. And in the natural, everything looked good to make him an elder. And that's what they suggested. And so I said, well, that looks good. Let me pray about it. When I prayed about it, you know what? I didn't have any peace. And I didn't have a reason for it. I went back and told the other elders. I said, I just don't feel good about making this guy the elder. I said, I think we ought to get someone else. And they said, well, why? Don't you like him? What's wrong? I didn't have a reason. I didn't know anything. I just didn't feel peace. And so I tried to push the issue. And basically, they just said, unless you can give us a reason, unless you can show us something wrong, we're going to go ahead and establish him as an elder. And so, you know what? I allowed them to do it. I was only like 30 years old or something, and they were much older. And I just submitted to them, and I let them establish this guy as an elder. And then they left on wheat harvest. Within 1 week, this man who had been a friend to me and who had embraced me and supported me, when he got put into that position, within 1 week, I still don't know what occasioned it, he just turned into Satan personified. This guy started sending the other elders messages that I was stealing money from the church, which was ludicrous because they didn't even give me a salary. I wasn't even getting any money. And I wasn't taking any money from the church. He said I was getting drunk, that I was doing dope, that I was having sexual immorality, that I was using profanity. He just accused me of anything and everything. And this guy turned into the devil personified. And anyway, when this happened and I saw it, immediately I said, now I know why I didn't have any peace. And this guy caused me great grief and basically ran me out of town on a rail. I had to leave that church. And, you know, when all of this happened, I just made a decision right then. I said, God, I knew in my heart I didn't feel peace about this. I wasn't letting the peace of God rule in my heart. And I said, by the grace of God, with God's help, I am never going to violate my peace again. Now, you know, I'm sure that I have, but it's been by mistake or something. I have never knowingly. Once I knew that I didn't feel peace about something and it was conscious and I was very aware of it, I just have not gone against that because I paid so dearly in that position that I haven't done it again. And there's lots of times that, you know, people are asking me to do things and it looks good and it makes sense, but I just don't have a peace about it. I don't have a desire for it. And so I just don't do it. And I know that sometimes people are offended and wonder what's wrong with you. But this is what the scripture says about let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is a direction from the Lord, and this is how you find the Lord's will. You know, when I first saw this scripture, here's the thing that occasioned all of this. I was in college, my very first year of college, and I had this tremendous experience with the Lord that I often refer to, March the 23rd, 1968. And that's when I made a decision to be a living sacrifice. I had already started renewing my mind with the Word of God. I was still in process. But I had made this decision, and when I committed my life to God totally in 1968, I was in college, my second semester of college. And I mean, when I did that, my desires just totally changed. I mean, completely changed. Prior to that time, I actually was enjoying being in college. It was exciting. I was out on my own. I was thinking about the future. I was enjoying all the college stuff, and I was enjoying being out with my friends and doing things. And you know what? It was exciting. And I enjoyed going to college. But when I made this commitment of my life to the Lord, I mean, bam, just like that, overnight, I lost all desire to be in college. I wanted to give all of my time to serving God, to seeking God. I didn't know exactly how God was going to use me, but I knew it was going to be full time in ministry some way or another. I didn't know that I'd be ever preaching to people because I was an introvert and I couldn't look at a person in the face. And I honestly, at that time, didn't think I'd ever be standing in front of people, but I knew I'd be somehow or another full-time in ministry. And I just didn't see that college was important to it. And so, just based on my desire, I just made the proclamation to people a very short time after that experience that I was going to quit school. And boy, when I did, you would have thought I cussed. You would have thought I committed adultery. It would have been easier on me if I'd have committed adultery. They could have forgiven me for that. But I mean, in my family, I'm the very first person that hasn't finished college in generations. Everybody in my family has finished college, has been a teacher, a professor, or something like that. In the church that I went to, they were in Arlington, Texas, close to the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the people that we had come fill our pulpits were the doctors and all of these well-educated people. And I mean, it was a church that put a tremendous amount of emphasis on this. And when I said I was going to quit school, I mean, I literally had some of the leadership of the church come talk to me and say, you can't be a Christian and say that God told you to quit school. So, I mean, I just got flack from everywhere. Plus, I was getting $350 a month from the government, Social Security payments for my father's death, if I would stay in school. It was an incentive to stay in school. So if I quit school, I would diminish my income by $350 a month. Plus, this was during the height of the Vietnam War, and it was prior to the lottery draft that they instituted, and you got a student deferment if you were in school. And so if I quit school, I was going to immediately be classified 1A and with the big potential of being drafted and sent to Vietnam, and it could have cost me my life. So I got criticism from my family. I got criticism from my church saying that you couldn't be a Christian if you say that God told you to quit school. I lost money, and I also potentially was going to be drafted and sent to Vietnam. All of those negatives were against me quitting school. And when I said that I was going to quit school, boy, my mother hit the roof. She didn't get mad. She wasn't mad at me, but she was just disappointed. She was hurt. And she told me in no uncertain terms that that was not what I was supposed to do. And for 2 weeks, wouldn't even talk to me. She was so hurt over the thing. Finally, I just got her one day and I said, I am taking you out to eat. And I took her out to a place that we went to eat. And I sat down and I said, you are going to talk to me, say something. And she just broke down and cried and said, I'm so ashamed. That's the way that she started talking to me. So I, you know, here I was, an 18-year-old boy, and I was getting all of this criticism from people who were supposed to be mature in the church. I mean, I had people that I looked up to, people that were very instrumental in touching my life, telling me that I was of the devil and that this was the devil and that I needed to stay in school. I was going to get drafted. I was going to lose this money, and on and on. And so because of all of this criticism, and I was just brand new in really seeking the Lord, you know what? I backed down. And I let other people coerce me into staying in school. And I say I stayed in school. What I'd do, I'd go to school every day. But I was so on fire for the Lord. I was so excited about the Lord. I'd talk to anything that moved. And I would try and go to class, but I'd get to talking to someone about the Lord. And I'd be in the middle of talking to them, and they'd be receptive, and I was close to leading them to the Lord, and then the bell would ring. And I couldn't let them go to hell just because the bell rang, so I'd stay and talk to them, and I'd miss that class. And then that class was already going, and so when I got through leading them to the Lord, I'd go get somebody else, and by the time the next bell rang, I was in the midst of talking to someone else. And so I tried to go to class every day for 2 months and didn't make very many of them because I was always talking to somebody about the Lord. But if I ever did make it into class, I hated being in there. I mean, I hated it. I didn't just dislike it. I hated it. It was like, no, this is not what God wants me to do. No, I'm not supposed to be here. But I was there because I was letting other people control my life. I wasn't following the leadership in my heart. And I went on like that from March the 23rd, 1968, until probably in May, close to graduation. And I just kept going through the motions and going there. And finally, I was out with my friends one night, and we came across this scripture. I believe it's in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 23. We read this, and it may have been the first time that I had ever read this, but it says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." And the last part of that verse says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And I mean, when I read that, it's like God just burned that verse into my heart. And I realized that whatever is not of faith is sin. I had thought that sin was going out and committing adultery and lying, stealing, you know, all of these big sins. But I saw here that if you aren't operating in faith, it's sin. And you know what? To the best of my understanding, I felt like God told me that college wasn't for me, that I was going to go a different direction. And that's what I had faith for, but I wasn't obeying my faith because of the criticism of my spiritual leaders, my mother, the finances, the government possibly drafted me. I was letting other things push me in a direction that is not what I believed God wanted me to do. And when I saw that, I realized that it wasn't just a matter of obeying other people and submitting to their leadership. I was in sin if I wasn't doing what I believed God wanted me to do. And I mean, that really convicted me. And I remember telling my friends, normally we'd stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning studying the Word and praying. And I remember it was about 9 o'clock, and I told him, I said, I'm going home. I'm going to find out exactly what God wants me to do. I'm going to make a decision. And I said, I will not be in sin tomorrow. I'm going to get this thing settled today, and I'm either going to get in school believing that that's what God told me to do, or I'm going to get out of school because that's what God told me to do, but I am not going to continue in indecision. And I made this commitment, and I remember going home and just getting before the Lord and saying, God, I need to make a decision. I'm going to go one way or the other. I'm not going to be in sin tomorrow. And I was seeking the Lord and asking God to give me direction and just let me know for sure. And anyway, this is when the Lord directed me to Colossians 3:15, that scripture that I used at the beginning of the program that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And when I saw that again, it's just like God quickened that scripture to me, and I said, that's it. What do I have peace about doing? And so with my mind, with my imagination, I sat down and I considered staying in school. And I considered getting out of school. I thought about what would happen if I stayed in school. And I allowed my imagination to just picture me going through 4 years of school and graduating with a degree. And what would I do with this? And then I allowed my imagination to let me picture what would happen if I quit school. And you know what? As I considered these two options, I was thinking on this scripture, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And you know what? To be honest, I didn't have total peace in either direction. If I quit school, I was probably going to be drafted. I was probably going to be sent to Vietnam, which, you know, I wasn't against serving my country and going and doing that, but I wasn't gung-ho. It's not like I wanted to volunteer and voluntarily go over there. My whole desire was just focused on serving the Lord. So I wasn't really excited about getting drafted and going to Vietnam. I wasn't excited about losing this government money as long as I stayed in school. I wasn't excited about offending my mother, my brother, and my sister, the people at the church, getting told I was of the devil. None of those things blessed me and excited me. So I didn't feel total peace when I considered dropping out of school. But I didn't feel any peace when I considered staying in school. And so for a period of time, man, I struggled with this for a number of hours before I came to the conclusion. But anyway, I'm just about out of time today. I'm going to have to wind this up on my program tomorrow. I'm sorry to cut you off right in the middle. But basically, I let the peace of God rule in my heart, and I am absolutely convinced that this was one of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life. And I did it based on Colossians 3:15, the exact thing I'm telling you. And I know that God is speaking to many of you, and you can see parallels between what I've been describing in my life and what you've been going through, and you have a desire in your heart, a peace to go one direction, but you're letting circumstances, people, finances, or whatever mold you and make you go a certain direction. I'm saying you need to let the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm out of time today, but we will be back on this again tomorrow, so please listen in. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive these materials.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these Destiny Stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Following the Desires of Your Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT122C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. In South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 21st through the 23rd. And in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 6th through the 8th. And in Little Rock, Arkansas, August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
Coming to Caris Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the Word of God that we've sat under in the Andrews Ministry has really influenced our writing so much. And you just, it changes you because the Word changes you, has power to change you. The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's Word and they love worship.
New this fall at Caris Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
The Lord told me that indecision is a sin. But if I was to make a decision, and even if it's the wrong decision, but if I made it to the best of my ability in faith, God would be pleased.